On this week's episode of Inside the Pocket, we are talking about what we have been up to this week. We get a lot of fun things to talk about. We're also going to be going over week 11 of the NFL, talking some Blues hockey. We also got some awesome wow stories of the week, what we would do if we were president, some conspiracy theories, our shower thoughts. Austin's going to pitch us a movie, and then we got an awesome beer review at the end. Let's go. Inside the Pocket, it is Austin, and with me as always is Gavin.
What's up, guys?
We have a lot to talk about, as Gavin delved into at the beginning of the episode, and we're going to go ahead and get right into what we did this week. My girlfriend's looking at houses, so I went and looked at some houses with her, being nice boyfriend material.
Put on your big boy pants?
Yeah, you know, we went and toured through a few, and she put a offer in on one of them, and I kind of gave my little nudge on what I thought would be nice, because you never know, I might just move the fuck in.
There you go. Probably a little bit cheaper than your apartment anyway. And you'll get to be in a house.
Yeah, it's actually substantially cheaper.
Nice. I was back in Iowa this week. Place still sucks. But we moved along pretty well. And we should be able to finish up within a couple days this
week.
Iowa
didn't get better in a week?
Nope, in a week. No improvements to the state of Iowa have been made in the past week.
Iowa just seems like they're just an inevitable
downside. Except
for
when I go there. And then when
I leave, they get better when you're there.
Oh, yeah. Oh. One thing I noticed about Iowa, I've seen, like, one person bigger than me. Iowa has a lot of
That's because you're a fat boy.
No, I mean, like, as tall as me, and I'm not that tall.
Yeah, you're not that tall.
Me and Dad are just gigantic compared to everybody else. And at one point, we had to kick these two electricians out of the area where we were working so we could do the walls. I told them not to go in there. They're like, oh, we'll work around in about 2 minutes. Dad's like, you guys are getting the fuck out of here. This is shut down. You know how Dad just does.
Yeah.
And then at one point, we overheard some guy talking to him, and they were like, yeah, the guys in there said it was shut down. We can't go in there till Friday. And we hear the guy go, we'll see about that. And then he walks in there, and me and Dad just both turn and stare at him. He goes, I guess it's closed till Friday then. And then just turns around and walks away.
So he was a bitch.
Yes.
All right. Well, way to be hard and then get fucking put down like a 12-year-old child. You know, I haven't been up to like a whole bunch, but I've been really in the holiday season wearing my sweaters every weekend. For those of you who follow Inside the Pocket on Facebook, you saw on Sunday the video of me dancing because the Colts went ham. We'll get into that later. But I wanted to know, Gavin, with Thanksgiving coming up this week, we're not going to, like, we'll have an episode after Thanksgiving, but before Thanksgiving, what are your top three foods that you get on Thanksgiving?
The top three for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Do you want me to give my top three first and you can think,
Let's do it, like, back and forth.
Okay.
It'll kind of be like a little draft.
So, go 3-2-1. Three is your least, two is your second most, and number one is your priority.
Okay. I'm going to do...
Desserts included.
Okay. I'm going to do... My second's going to be a tie, like a two-way tie, but my third one is going to be the sweet potato with the marshmallows on top.
Okay. That is in mine, but it's not my third. My third is actually pecan pie.
Ooh, that's a good one.
For the dessert.
That was going to be part of my two-way tie.
Yeah, pecan pie is my number three.
Yep. Okay. Number two would have to be the pumpkin / pecan pie.
Okay, and now I'm okay with you doing the split, because I was upset for a second. My second is actually the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top.
There you go, so we're very similar.
Yeah.
The number one, though, is going to be that turkey leg.
That's what mine is going to be. Yeah, we're pretty much the same. We pretty much hit it. For those of you that don't know, our Thanksgiving, me and Gavin normally always get the turkey legs, and we pretty much tell the rest of the family to fuck off.
Yeah.
Because those are ours. We're alpha. We're taking those turkey legs, and if you want one, fight us over it. And pretty much nobody does.
So. We killed off our granddad just so we could have that, right?
Yep. Yes, we did.
And so that's how it is. And so, if somebody wants it, they'll have to kill us. I've been playing a lot of Red Dead.
Yeah.
I've been in the cowboy spirit. However, it's getting ready to go on the back burner.
Uh-oh.
This weekend, Halo had their final Halo 5 event. It was the end of competitive Halo 5.
Oh.
But at the event, it was also pretty cool, too, because they had a Halo 3 2v2 tournament. And they actually got way more viewers for the Halo 3 2v2 than they did for the Halo 4 or the Halo 5 4v4.
Yeah.
And then it was officially announced after the tournament that there will be a company called UGC will be holding some Halo 3 tournaments, and the first one will be in January here in St. Louis.
There we go.
Your boy is coming out of retired, washed up fuckboydom to compete. Let's fucking go.
You want me to get on that team? I can go ahead and download and get practicing.
Oh, no, I kind of want to win.
Huh, weird. I mean, I can stick people.
Join the FFA. Come out and be in the FFA with me.
I might do that. We'll see.
People be like, who is this fucking nerd? Be like,
I don't know. I'm here to
My brother's a legend.
I'm here to suck dicks and throw nades. That's all I'm here to do.
I'm all out of dicks to suck.
Solid.
Yeah. But another good thing, I'm finally not dying anymore.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you are. You're past 25.
Yeah, but not dying at the rate that I thought I was.
Oh, okay.
So I was waking up, like, I'd be fine, and I would wake up in the morning, could hardly breathe, I was wheezing, I couldn't figure it out, went to the doctor, he's like, you know, it's just that time of the year, get some Vicks, take your vitamins, whatever. I got one of my little Vicks inhalers that I used to have all the time, and since I've been using that, I can breathe perfectly again, so that's good.
We're going to talk about health. I got something about health we can touch on.
He did tell me I was a fat piece of shit.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That hurts.
He's like, you know, since the last time I saw you, looking at your weight now, I know it's the holidays, it's usually bad. I told him, I said, well, I am a quick fluctuator, too. Like, 20 pounds, I can lose and gain within 2 weeks.
Right.
And he was like, oh, well, as you get older, that'll become a lot harder to do.
That's bullshit. I haven't noticed at all. Yeah, I can gain 40 pounds in winter, and then within the first week of summer, I'm back down to, like, 160.
Yeah, and so I was like, I literally haven't been trying all year. If I get back into it, it'll be fine. And he was like, you know, 210 is actually, he's like, you look at what a lot of people say the body mass index is. He said some of those are fucking ridiculous. He's like, for a guy with your stature, 210's good for you. I was like, well, I can normally walk around at 200, even 190. He goes, if you do that, you're fine. He basically just said, you need to start working out again.
Yeah, so stop being fucking lazy, you piece of shit.
If only I didn't have a bitch little brother that would go with me.
Well. I really don't need to go to a gym because I'm in perfect health. Actually, I'm not in perfect health. So let me go ahead and touch on you on this. This is going to kind of go in with the shitty stories that we talk about every now and then.
Okay.
My shit's green. Like, straight green. It's been straight green for, like, 4 days. So
I can't lie. Mine has, too.
Okay. So I got a little concerned.
I thought it was just, like, my shits were in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, I did, too. That's what... At first, I was like, haha, there we go. At least there's no red.
They were actually straight blue after I had some of your birthday cake.
Well, there was blue icing, so that makes sense. But, and I actually, the day it started was when I ate the cake.
I think it's just the dye from
and
that
it's not,
cake in your
it's
shit.
It's not, because mine's been going on for 4 days. I haven't been eating the cake for 4 days.
Okay.
So, when I was looking up, I saw a couple of catastrophic things, like, yeah, you're going to die, like, tomorrow.
You died 3 days ago.
Yeah, you're already dead. I was like, oh, all right, cool. So, I didn't go with those. The other one...
Hold on, before you continue, I want to just start using that as an excuse. Like, if a cop pulls you over, be like, do you know I pulled you over? Be like, I'm dead. Be like, what? Be like, I died, so nothing you say to me right now matters. Be like, or like, sir, you haven't paid your bill? Yeah, I'm dead. What?
Wait, the opposite of, like, what people do to dead people? Like, when they say they're actually still alive and they collect their checks, you're doing the opposite.
Gonna start
you're alive,
talking,
just
I identify
you're
as dead, so I have no responsibilities in life.
Oh, I wonder if that would work.
It's 2018. It's got to.
Well, all right. But anyway, green shit. Let's get back on topic. The topic that we need to keep focus on, green shit.
All right. Let's focus on these green shits.
So I was looking at it, and one of the things that I've actually been told by a doctor is that I have a very, very fast, like, digestive system. Like, I go through food in an abnormally crazy rate. Keep it going. There we go. So... one of the things on there said that if your digestive system goes through food extremely fast, it can make it green. And I went with that. Like, that's what I'm riding on. Because I feel fine.
So your body's passing food through your system before it's properly digested?
Yeah, before it's properly digested.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. And it's making it not completely...
It's not that it digests it faster, it's that your body's pushing it through before it's properly digested.
Well, it said it is digested faster. It's just, I guess the longer it takes to digest, the more it hardens and becomes a solid stool and of proper proportion and color. But the faster it does it, it's digesting it faster and it's just pushing it out and it's not completely compounded. Like, think of a compost. Like, if you take a banana peel and you throw it in there, it probably takes about 2-3 weeks for that banana to be gone. But in 2 weeks, if you go out there and your banana's still there, it's going to be, like, really shrivelly and shitty. So you just looked at it too early. Pretty much the same thing. It's being decomposed. It's just dying.
Your shits aren't ripe yet.
Yeah, my shit's not ripe.
You're taking unripened shits.
Yes, that is what I'm doing.
I want you to work on that. Another thing we need to work on, apparently, is the podcast, because we talked about last week, we got a 1-star review.
Yeah, we did.
But we held to our promise. And now we need our awesome listeners to help us out and go to InsideThePocketPodcast.com, go over to that merch store, and pick yourself up a 1-star rating t-shirt.
You can find the website on our Facebook if it's easier.
Or you just go to the website that I just said. I'll say it again for you.
Go ahead and say it again, but I've tried to look it up, and sometimes it takes like a couple pages of scrolling to
find. InsideThePocketPodcast.com. Don't even search it. Just type it into the bar up top, you lazy motherfuckers, and hit enter. And it will take you
there. Yeah, and then buy shit. Buy all the shit.
Buy all that
shit. If you have $100, $100. That's all you need. $100, buy shit.
You got friends that you got to buy some shit for this Christmas? Buy them some t-shirts and hoodies. And when they open it up, they're like, thanks, but what the fuck is this? Be like,
a podcast that I thought you would listen to because you're a cool person.
So now I've gotten you a gift that will keep on giving because now you can listen to this podcast and I know you're going to love it and then you'll have the merch to rock for it.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you do it. The best gift is giving the gift of listening.
Yeah.
And we're here to let you guys listen.
All right. Is that all you had going on in your week?
That is all I had going on in the week, and I think we should go ahead and jump in the NFL. But before we get into it, I have a fun fact about the NFL, Gavin.
NFL fun facts.
Oh, I do. MVPs. Do you know? Do you know, like, could you name an NFL MVP at any time?
Matt Ryan.
Okay. That's true.
Tom Brady.
Did you know a kicker won MVP?
NFL MVP of the year?
Yep. Kicker has
won ever.
One kicker has gotten it.
And who's that?
Well, I wanted to see. I figured you wouldn't get the name, but could you guess a year? Guess a year that you think a kicker would win it.
Recent or old? Just
it's old. It's I mean,
83.
Oh my God, you were so close.
What year?
1982.
Damn.
A kicker won MVP, Mark Moseley. It was a shortened season.
Oh.
And he is the only kicker to, I think he led the league in points.
But why was it a shortened season?
They were on strike.
Oh.
So it was a shortened, kind of like what the NHL did a couple years ago when the Blackhawks won. Yeah, they still gave the awards.
Hmm.
And he was, as of right now, he's the only kicker to win MVP in the NFL, Mark Moseley.
Mark Moseley, NFL MVP kicker. He must have had, how many kicks did he have?
I actually read into it, but I only wrote down that because it was a fun, quick fact. Gotcha. Just one kicker, Mark Moseley, 1982. He won MVP. Only kicker ever about him. You know what? I will. I'll write a blog about things. Him. I might do
that tomorrow. That's going to be your thing. You're going to look up some fun facts, write a little blog about it. Maybe you can blog about your movie ideas, and I will do my, I need to get back on it. I haven't done one in a while. I could do my St. Louis Blues recaps. And some...
Here's a recap. We fucking suck.
Video game stuff. We'll talk more about it later.
Jeez. Well, we'll get in... I know, but I'm just giving them a heads up. All right.
Well, NFL time. We're going to start things off. The Ravens beat the Bengals 24-21 as Lamar Jackson juked and ran all over Cincy for 117 yards in his first start in the NFL. Although the Ravens' run game is what got him the W, Jackson was able to pick up 150 yards on 13 of 19 passes. The Bengals, who started the season 4-1, are now 5-5 with, like, you know, half the rest of the fucking league.
Right.
The Panthers, they lost 20-19 after a failed two-point conversion after Cam Newton threw an incomplete with 107 left in the fourth quarter. Jarius Wright was open in the end zone, but Newton soared the pass out of bounds. Coach Riviera wanted to take the win after they had the momentum, and Newton had just thrown his third touchdown pass on the day. And, you know, after Graham Gano missed an extra point and a field goal earlier in the game. So not much. There's not a lot of coaches that have much confidence in their kickers right now.
No. And I'm actually kind of a fan. Like, I love kickers. I think kickers are really, like, they're needed in football. However, I do like seeing teams go for two.
I do, too. I like
it's exciting to see.
Like, you know what? We're just going to win this.
Yeah.
It's a confident move. It's one of those things, if it doesn't pan out and you lose the game, it's one thing like, oh, you could have tied it and went into overtime, and who would have known how that would have played out?
Could have, should have, would have.
It's the ballsy, manly move to just go for two and Frank win the Wright. Fucking game.
That's what he did.
That's what he does.
We lost, but that's what he did.
The Lions ended up recovering an onside kick and ended their three-game losing streak. Saquon Barkley ran for 142 yards and three touchdowns, while Eli threw two touchdowns to give the Giants a 38-35 victory over the Bucks. Alec Ogletree also returned one for the Giants off of an interception. Odell Beckham added to the mix with 74 yards and an 8-yard touchdown. The Bucks did make the game interesting, though, after they replaced Fitzmagic in the third after throwing three interceptions and allowed Winston to lead four touchdown drives. However, in true Bucks fashion, Winston throws an interception to B.W. Webb to give New York the win.
Ogletree obviously used his decoder from Ovaltine to get that ball out of the hands of the cornerback that he stole that interception from to pick up and take for the touchdown for the Giants. And like you said, Barkley just ran a marathon on the fucking Bucks in the first quarter, having two touchdowns. That was gnarly. Fitzmagic did open up like he was going to have a decent game, running in a touchdown of himself to bring it within a one-score game, but it just didn't turn out to be very good.
Yikes. Deshaun Watson was also plagued with a lot of mistakes as the Texans beat the Redskins 23-21. However, Justin Reed made up for one of those mistakes with a 101-yard interception return. Alex Smith was also a big loss for the Redskins as he suffered a terrible ankle injury on a sack in the third quarter and had to be taken straight to the hospital. It was fucking disgusting. Thing snapped right in half.
That it was. Yeah. That it
and they're calling it an ankle injury, everything I've said, but it actually looks like it's just above the ankle.
I think it's a shin. Yeah. Like, it's a shin injury, and his leg was flopped around like a fucking... What is it?
Spaghetti.
Yeah, it looked like a wet spaghetti noodle.
It looks like an inflatable arm man.
Wacky waving inflatable arm two man?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. A wacky waving inflatable arm two man.
Stop saying it. All right. The play looked scarily similar to the play that caused Joe Theismann a broken leg 33 years ago to the day.
Yikes. Weird. Weird how history repeats itself.
Yeah.
Here soon we're going to have another guy overthrowing the government and we're going to gas a lot of Jews.
Oh, hopefully not. That's why we got guns to prevent that from happening. Well, people don't get that.
Here in America.
Yeah. Colt McCoy ended up replacing Smith, who threw for a touchdown and led a long scoring drive for Washington, which is good for them because he will likely be the one that leads the team the rest of the way this season. They actually got a Colt will be returning to Texas to face Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Hey, let's see how that goes.
See how it goes. The Texans weren't without mistakes themselves. Watson threw one touchdown and had two interceptions with three sacks. Texans got the win after the Redskins kicker Dustin Hopkins missed a 63-yard attempt.
Wasn't it the Hatfields and the McCoys that were like a
They were a feuding family.
Yeah, and now Colt McCoy is on the Indians. Facing the Dallas Cowboys, I wish somebody had like Hatfield as a name on there because that would be the headline everywhere. Colt McCoy versus something Hatfield.
McCoy versus Hatfield. Hatfields.
Yeah, on Thanksgiving, Redskins versus the Dallas Cowboys, Cowboys versus Indians. Prescott's.
Just kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, all right.
There's a thing like that in Red Dead. Two families that hate each other for years and years and years.
Oh,
and
is there?
With the feud. It's pretty cool. Big Ben leads the Steelers to a comeback over the Jags 1 week after having a perfect QB rating. Big Ben overcame three interceptions and a 16-0 deficit by leading two late scoring drives. He lunged in from the 1 yard line for a winning score with 5 seconds left to seal the 20-16 victory. This is the Steelers' sixth straight win and likely ended any playoff hopes for the Jags, who had eliminated Pittsburgh last year. The Jags, however, have lost six straight, and they controlled until the final 5 minutes. So Ramsey actually had a pretty good game for himself for running his mouth, but wasn't enough to get him the win.
Yeah, he pulled in two interceptions, one of them questionable, but they still ruled it as an interception. And the Steelers played extremely poorly actually. That entire game, they played very poorly. It looked like it was going to be a big thing for Jacksonville, and I even said while we were watching the game, I said, God, Jacksonville is just the Steelers' curse.
They and that's actually been the story this week. There's been a lot of games that were just sloppily played, and one team just made... It's whatever team capitalizes on the mistakes more. Yeah. Everybody made mistakes, but it was the team that capitalized most on those mistakes.
What I thought was going to end up just being a shiny spot for the Steelers was the 78-yard touchdown toss to Antonio Brown that he took in, and I was like, oh, there's the play that the Steelers get to hold on to and say, hey, we were able to do that, let's keep going. But like you said, in the last 5 minutes of the game, the Steelers came back and scored twice and go ahead and put the nail in the coffin on the Jaguars. It's just sad to see for the Jaguars because they came out into the year with such potential. They seemed like such a team to
After last year, I really thought the Jags were going to be one of the teams, like you said, to beat. We all kind of thought the Rams were going to do good. We never thought Pat Mahomes would blow up the way he has. The Saints, I assumed, would be just a decent team, but they're also blowing up this year. So my team's sucking dick, and yours is going to be one of those sneaky ones that might make it into a wild card position.
Yep, we're moving up.
Speaking of my Falcons.
Yikes.
Brett Maher, a no-name piece of trash, who missed an extra point earlier in the game, somehow decided to make a 42-yard field goal in the final play to give Dallas the win over Atlanta, 22-19. Zeke had a hell of a game, which wasn't bad for my fantasy team, with 122 yards, 23 carries, and a 23-yard touchdown pass. He also led the team with 7 catches for 79 yards.
Nice.
Matt Ryan hit Julio for a 34-yard touchdown with 152 remaining to tie the game, which makes Julio's third touchdown in 3 straight games since he finally made a touchdown, but the Cowboys drove 51 yards in 10 plays as the Falcons defense failed once again to finish out a game or to stop the opposing team when it really mattered.
I knew once Julio caught a touchdown, he'd start getting red zone targets and pulling him in.
No, it definitely helped his confidence and opened things up a little bit. Ridley didn't have the game I would have liked to have seen him have.
He dropped a real bad ball
interception. And, yeah, like you said, led right for an interception. And I think there was another one that he easily should have caught and didn't. One big thing that happened was at one point in the play, one of the safeties for the Cowboys had an easy interception. And Julio Jones switched into defensive mode and put a beautiful tackle on him. Skip Bayless said that guy should have held on to the ball, you know, no matter what, saying, you know, Julio Jones catches that 10 out of 10 times. Well,
he doesn't.
Yeah, one, no, he fucking doesn't. I've seen him drop way easier passes.
He dropped a ball that game that was way easier. It went right into his hands and he dropped it.
Two, you have a 6'3" monster tackling you when you're not even looking at him coming down with a catch you normally don't make. That's why you're a fucking safety, not a receiver. And Skip Bayless is just mentally ill. People have posted about him recently on his takes.
Yeah.
I think he has brain damage from sucking on cowboy dicks so much that they're literally just bashing in the back of his brain.
Yeah, that's probably true. And like my take on it is you have Julio Jones who is used to catching a ball, taking a hit. Then you have a safety who is used to not catching the ball and giving the hit. The roles are now reversed. This guy is catching the ball, who's used to...
Julio would be a way better safety than that guy would receiver.
I don't know about that. Yeah, Julio would be a way better safety than that guy would be a receiver. Yes, I agree with that. But where I'm getting at is this safety is used to hitting people and making sure the play is dead. Now he's catching the ball. He's not used to taking a hit.
No.
He's not used to hitting people.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying when Julio switched into the mode and it hit him, and they're like, oh, well, Julio would have caught the ball. Well, no shit, because he's used to getting hit.
And he's a receiver. That's his job. It's not the other guy's fucking job.
Exactly. So, people saying that, and also people saying they're not giving credit to Julio for doing that, that's retarded. Because
you could see if Julio didn't hit that guy, he would have
hit the ball. Yeah, he would have caught the ball. He would have had the ball. He had it in his hands coming to the ground, and Julio hit him while he was still in the air, lost it, incomplete pass.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what kind of tackle it was, arm tackle, whatever. The dude had the ball. The tackle came when he didn't expect it, and it caused him to lose possession. Absolutely. Moving on to the Colts, which is our last game here. Lupp kept the Colts' record against the Titans a perfect 10-0 after they beat the Titans 38-10. Lupp threw for 3 touchdowns again, avoided getting sacked all game again, and helped Vinny achieve another record-breaking moment by leading the Colts to their 4th straight victory. T.Y. Hilton had two touchdowns. Marlon Mack and Jordan Wilkins each ran for a touchdown. And the Colts defense just smothered the Titans and extended that record to 10-0 against the Titans since Luck has been playing.
Yes. In the leading, like, there's been a couple things that the Colts are, like, doing this year. It seems like for the franchise, they're meeting a lot of records, actually. So, Andrew Luck, this is now his seventh game in a row throwing for three touchdowns. The only two people ahead of him are Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Tom Brady has 12 games in a row throwing three passing touchdowns or more, and Peyton Manning has eight. Andrew Luck now has seven. Also, this week, T.Y. Hilton racking in 155 yards and two touchdowns ties Marvin Harrison's franchise record for most 150-yard receiving games.
Wow.
With 11. So you're seeing a lot of franchise things coming to fruition right now this season. And I like seeing that. And Andrew Luck also just got with Dan Marino at being throwing 160 touchdowns in their first 80 games, averaging two touchdowns per game. Now, mind you, he missed a season, and he still beat that record. Within the first eight seasons, he threw for 160 touchdowns. So, this is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
He's doing pretty good. The defense of the Colts looked really good with Denarius Leonard getting an interception in the second half and taking it roughly 20 yards. That was amazing to see for the possible rookie defensive player of the year. And you also saw Quincy Wilson get an interception in the first half against Marcus Mariota, which these two interceptions are the first two interceptions that Marcus Mariota has thrown in three games. Hmm. So the Colts defense starting to look like kind of growing into their shoes, being a bunch of young kids coming together, finally playing. We, like you said, we put a lot of pressure on the quarterback throughout the whole game. The defense got some turnovers, and the offense is just running. You need to watch
those late penalties on kick and punt returns.
Yes, we do. We are so bad at that. Two weeks in a row, we had a punt and or kick return that went to the house, and within the last 5 yards, somebody does a block in the back or a holding call. And it gets called back. Just leave him alone. Whenever he's wide open, just leave him alone.
Sometimes. Yes. Less is more.
Yes. But that's why I said young defense, young offense, we're going to get into those kinks.
So a story came out earlier today, Sunday.
Is this one I know of?
So yesterday, for the people listening, I talked to you about it at the bar. The Cleveland Browns could be the first team to hire a woman as their next head coach. And the name on top of that list is a very prominent one, according to ESPN. The Browns would like to interview former Secretary of State and Browns fan Condoleezza Rice.
Wow.
Never heard of her.
No.
She's a political person.
Well, that'd be why.
She would become the first woman ever to interview for an NFL head coaching job. She was spotted on the field with owners D and Jim Haslam before the Cleveland game in Oakland on September 30th and has been seen wearing Browns gear on multiple occasions. There is an update as of this evening saying that the Cleveland Browns general manager said that they are not considering her for the position. But the fact that it came out, I don't know if this is something that somebody just saw and made into like a conspiracy theory or if it's something that I imagine the Browns front office right now looking for a coach and trying to figure out their problems is like Charlie Day from fucking Always Sunny just trying to like, oh.
I assume the Browns head office is a lot like Coach Gruden as a coach because he literally said that they're not trading Amari Cooper and they traded him. He was already at Dallas when he said, I don't think the trade's going to come through. He was already practicing with Dallas when he said that. Also, when they got rid of Marlon Mack, he says, we really need a pass rusher. Yeah, you just trade
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack. Yeah, I said, what did I say, Marlon Mack?
Yeah,
running back, Colts yeah. fan, happens. So, Khalil Mack, when he traded Khalil Mack, and he's like, we need a pass rusher. Well, no shit, you just got rid of the best one in the NFL.
Yeah, but
that's what I see as the Browns. Their front office is doing the same shit. So, when they say, when it comes out that they're looking at this person, they go, no, we're not. They already hired her. She's already got a contract.
She already has this.
Yeah, it's already happened. They're just denying it. So
Condoleezza Rice will be the head coach for the 2019 Cleveland Browns.
That's what you think, and that's what I think, and there's two of us, and that's all we need.
It's got to be. It's a fact now. You can tell all your friends.
Factually, she is the head coach of the Browns.
All right, that pretty much wraps up anything I had on the NFL. Did you have anything else, Austin?
No, I did not.
Why don't you tell me what you're thinking of the Blues right now?
I'm thinking that we're not... the Blues are giving me the blues.
Yes.
I'll tell you that. Because the Blues got shut out by the Sharks yesterday. who we previously beat 4-1 in the last time that we had met. However, Erik Karlsson scored his first goal while being on the Sharks, so good for him. I'm liking that. For the NHL, I'm liking to see him get some rhythm, but I don't like that it's coming against my hometown St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, and it was really weird after the Blues won 4-1 against the Golden Knights the night before, but we had a lot of guys out this game, including Maroon, Steen, and many others. It was another late game, back-to-back road series. Those can be tough, but this team is just the epitome of inconsistency. Yao still seems to have a job for now, and the team just can't get the ship turned one way or another. I wish it was either we were bad and we stayed bad. We never, you know, we lost to the Blackhawks 1-0, but other than that game, it's either been we get blown out or we blow another team out. There's no inconsistency. It's one of those things. I don't think they even know what to figure out right now, because you watch one game and we're amazing. You watch the next one and we're not.
Right. So we're being both ends of the spectrum. We're not having it's so weird to say that we're a run-of-the-mill team because we're winning and losing, but our wins are fantastic wins and our losses are dog shit losses. It's not like we're having a lot of close games coming. There's not nail biters. We had the one against the Blackhawks you just said where we lost by one, which I honestly thought was a dog shit game. Like, we did not play very well. And the last time we played the Blackhawks, we beat them 7-3. Yeah. I just don't understand why one time we make 7 goals and the next time we can't score at all. There's just no consistency on our offensive play and our defensive play.
Yeah. Yeah, the Blues definitely still struggle to figure things out. Hopefully they can pick it up Monday when they play the Kings, who are also struggling. The Blues right now are 7-8-3. We are 7th in the Central. Hopefully we can pick it up.
Yeah, hopefully. Fuck.
All right, speaking of picking things up, why don't we pick it up and head right over to the segments, and we will start it off with our Wow Story of the Week.
Wow.
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 All right, Austin, what kind of story do you got to wow us this week?
You like raccoons?
No.
No? Well, what about rabid raccoons?
I probably really don't like those.
Well, reports of rabid raccoons were terrorizing West Virginia neighborhoods, and it turned out it was very exaggerated. Because they were not rabid raccoons. They were just drunk as shit.
Oh, yeah. I actually heard this story.
Did you?
Yeah, you're cooking it from Barstool. Or not Barstool.
Radio. Is it? Oh, did they talk about it?
Yeah.
I must have missed it. God damn it.
That's all right.
We'll this might be the first time we cooked to them.
Because most they get the time shit they all the cook time ours. We come up before theirs.
So they actually got a hold of some crab apples, and they had fermented, and they were eating them, and they were just drunk as shit. There were a few of them, and they actually took a picture of one and put it on their website as being under arrest. A raccoon got placed under arrest and was put into a drunk tank, and the other one they thought actually had rabies, but after further inspection, it did not, and they said that the two of them were both just getting drunk and thriving in the wild.
Just living their best lives.
Just doing everything they can to be the best raccoons possible.
Nice. There's a balloon in here from my girlfriend's birthday, and I've pushed it away 5 times.
And it just keeps coming back. It's coming to me right now. If it comes here, I'm biting it and drinking it.
You don't drink air.
Yeah, you do. Have you not taken in helium?
Yeah, but you don't drink it.
Oh, I drink that. No, I drink it. I swallow like I'm drinking.
Well, listen to this story, dumb bitch.
Okay.
A Capitals fan traveled all the way to Antarctica to remind actual Penguins who the current Stanley Cup champions were. Trolling the Pittsburgh Penguins in any shape or form is fun, even if we're talking about literal Penguins. Samson Coe, a Centerville, Virginia native, and an avid Caps fan traveled all the way to Antarctica to remind actual Penguins of who the Cup champions were. Posted a picture of himself on Facebook rocking a red Stanley Cup champion t-shirt with a caption, "Traveled all the way to Antarctica just to remind the Penguins in person that we got the cup." Him and his wife are in the middle of a 1-year sabbatical that's taking them around the world. He's been planning something along these lines since they booked the trip last year, well before the boys lifted the cup. He said they packed lightly given the amount of ground they were going to cover, so he only had a few t-shirts in rotation. He made damn sure to pack a Caps and a Nationals shirt to represent. While those cute Penguins must have been very confused, the Caps fan will certainly love his commitment.
You think he slapped the shit out of a Penguin?
I bet he fucking punted a Penguin.
I would. So, okay. Is there any animal on this earth that you wish you could just punch in the face?
Yeah.
Because mine's a penguin.
Mine's a horse. I fucking hate horses.
You want to punch a horse in the face? Yes. Do you think you could drop a horse if you punched it?
No.
I think I could drop a penguin if I punched it. Oh, I think I if I punched a penguin in the head, I'm pretty sure.
I wouldn't
sure.
just punch it, though, because I got to get down to their shitty level to punch him.
Well, I'm talking just, about the big ones.
I would just line one up like Adam Vinatieri and fucking set
No, you're thinking fun. Like emperor penguins, the little guys. I think those are the little guys. But I'm talking about, like, the big ones that are, like, 2.5 foot tall that waddle like retards.
I'm still going to kick it.
I want to punch one of those so hard in the side of the head. I don't know why, but for some reason, I just really want to punch a penguin in the head. Have you ever seen the movie with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis where they're like, two... it's fucking election shit. I can't think of what... When you're trying to be voted into like office.
A political candidate.
Yeah, a political candidate. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it's them two facing each other, and there's a point where Zach Galifianakis goes to kiss a child, and Will Ferrell goes to punch Zach Galifianakis, and Zach Galifianakis ducks, and Will Ferrell punches a baby in the face, and they, like, zoom in on it and do it in slow-mo, and ever since I saw that scene, I was like, I really want to go punch a penguin.
Because why did it make you think of a penguin?
Because I fucking hate penguins. Babies I can understand. I wouldn't punch a baby. But I wouldn't punch a penguin so hard in the fucking face.
Why do you hate penguins?
I don't know. Maybe because of the movie Happy Feet and they talk and I go, penguins don't talk or dance. So now I really want to fuck
one up.
Do you hate
Dalmatians too, you weird fuck?
No, because they're dogs and dogs are all pure at heart. Penguins are just cold fucking birds that can't fly. They're fucking birds that are flawed. They're retarded birds that live in the cold, and I can't stand it, so I want to punch one in the face.
Punching an ostrich or something like that would be cool, too, to see their head, like, swing way around, because they got those long necks.
Yeah.
It'd be like a speed bag.
I just got a really fucked up thought. I'm not actually going to bring it up right now. I'll bring it up later.
Well, nobody send this podcast to PETA, and we're going to go ahead and jump into what we would do if we were president.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
All right, Austin, when you weren't out punching penguins or eating giraffe pussy in your spare time.
Wow, now they have a lot of context that they don't know.
What would you do if you were president?
Well, aside from eating giraffe pussy. All right, I'm going to give the poll. Do you think standing up you could lick a giraffe's pussy? Just by standing up, do you think you, like, at any age, do you think there's an age where at their height, if you're standing.
Yeah, because the baby ones are not even as tall as me, but a full-grown giraffe. I don't know.
You don't think you're tall enough?
I don't know.
You think from the bottom of their leg to their abdomens or pussy region is...
What's the average height of a giraffe pussy?
I don't know, but it's pretty tall. I think I could. But anywho, if I was president... Let's get... This is off the rails. If I was president, I would own a fuck ton of dogs. I would own 50 dogs and I would name each one after every state. And I would literally name the dogs after the state that whatever dog reminded me of said state.
Okay. What would be the dog from Missouri?
A dead one. Because Missouri's fucking awful.
You just have one dead dog.
I just drag it around on a leash. Missouri. I would have, obviously, like a husky for Alaska. I would have a Great Dane for Texas because everything's big in Texas. I would have like a little, what's Baymax?
He's like a, I don't know, some little fucking shitty
dog. I'd do something like that for like Delaware because they're little and nobody gives a shit about them, or Rhode Island. Something like that. Every state would have
a dog
that would, like, if I had a dog that was crazy and fucked up and just did weird shit, that'd be Florida. If I had a dog that died in a fire, that would be California.
If you had a dog that was gay and afraid of guns, California.
Yeah. Anything like that.
All right. Well, if I were president, this kind of goes off of what I said last week where I said I'd start a podcast. I would also start a Twitch stream where I would answer questions live on there. So I don't have to deal with reporters. I don't have to leave anywhere. And I feel like with the younger generation being on Twitch a lot, it would help me get to some of them instead of the like older people that vote on shit and they're, you know, they want everything to be like it was. You would reach the younger people that want to change shit and do all the new neat shit. And I would like try to connect with them and get them on my side.
So do you think you would be able to reconnect? Like, I actually do wonder this. If you legitimately won presidency and you have to be 35 to make presidency at the youngest age. And
really? I thought it was way older than that.
No, I think it's 35 is the youngest you can be.
Fucking 50.
No, I'm pretty sure 35 is when you become eligible.
Tell me what you think. I'm going to look it up.
You're 28?
Yeah.
So 7 years from now, if you make presidency, you're at 35. Do you think you would be able to resonate with 18-year-olds?
I'd find a way. I'd put an 18-year-old on my cabinet just so I could learn from them. You know, stay in touch with the times.
Hmm. What kind of, like, would you do, like, would you, so your cabinet is something you get to choose.
Yes.
So would you choose any random 18-year-old, or would you?
No, I'd find one that was dope.
Oh, okay. But what if they don't go by dope anymore? What if it's they're on Fleek, or if they're,
I don't care what it
posse?
Is.
What if whatever they're
the cool, I find the coolest young person I can, you're on my cabinet as my whatever generational advisor.
Okay.
And then they would tell me what's up. Might not even be Twitch at the time. Might be a whole new service. But I would find a way to like talk to those people, and then they'd think I was cool as shit, and I'd get all the young people votes.
Okay. Okay.
You dig?
Yeah, or they'd think you're dumb as shit. You don't know how you'd like resonate with them.
I'd find a way to resonate with them.
But that's just like, think of like church. Think how church tries to resonate with like younger kids.
They don't do a good job though.
Sure, but do you think you would?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm asking.
Trust me. I know how to talk to a little kid.
Oh, do you? You can get a kid, you can get a little kid to do what you want?
Oh, yeah. Get him to do what you want.
That's weird.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into our next segment, which is going to be our conspiracy theories. Austin, in this strange world, what's your conspiracy theory?
My conspiracy theory is that Pokemon Go was actually a government surveillance spy program.
Oh.
So what they used when they did Pokemon Go is they launched it worldwide, so everyone would use it. Everyone's running around pretty much videotaping everything they're doing when they're walking around.
Yeah, if they have the augmented reality on.
Yeah. So they can just watch where you're walking, where you're going. For the people who adventured above and beyond, like myself, when I played Pokemon Go, I broke into two different areas to get into their like lawn, wherever they had like, so you know, on, I'm not going to give where I live, but you know the meadows?
Mm-hmm.
There's a building actually behind the meadows.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I hopped their fence because they have a hotspot that would spawn in behind their building, but it's all fenced in. So I hopped their fence and went in there and did it. So they literally watched me on camera hop a fence of a building, a barbed wire fence at that, get on private property, go back there, sit on a bench, play this stupid fucking video game.
Did you just call it a barbed wire fence?
Yeah, it had a barbed wire, like the thing on the top.
You wouldn't be referring to a barbed wire fence, would you?
Oh, I would be. Yeah, it's barbed wire.
Just got a bunch of guys named Bob sitting up there being like, hey man, he shouldn't be in here.
Bob the Builder.
Fuck you, Bob. Get in there and play Pokemon Go.
Well, all right. Well, we didn't see nothing. So, yeah, they just watched me do that. So they're like, oh shit, people just broke into this place like nobody's business and left, and they were fine. They also know where I live and where I go and all that.
I think the government has a lot better things to do than once you play Pokemon.
Sure, me specifically, but what if there's someone they're after and they happen to play Pokemon Go? They could see where they were going, where they were at. Hook
all your shit up to, like, facial recognition.
Right. And they can get... That's what I'm saying. They could literally just look for anything on anybody's shit, and everything's videotaped.
What if the GO in Pokemon Go stands for Global Assault or Global Offensive? I mean, because Assault starts with an A.
Or Government Observes.
Pokemon Go Government Observation.
Pokemon Government Observe. Observation. Government Observation.
Global Observation.
Global Observation. That's what it is.
That's what it means.
That's what it means.
Yep.
So, yeah, that made me scared. I mean, I don't play it anymore, but I did. And really, they're going to see, like, a lot of videos of me, like, playing Pokemon Go and, like, a lot of, like, six-year-olds around me and me shoving six-year-olds to the ground, running after Growlithe in a park. Pokemon Go
and jerk off in front of it. Be like, hopefully observe this, bitch.
What if a Lickitung comes and you just, like, you know, you're letting him do his thing?
Get me off a little quicker, probably.
Weird. Okay, I'm bringing it up. Which Pokemon would you fuck if you were a Pokemon? You had to fuck a Pokemon.
Jesus Christ. I'd have to find one that looked like a chick.
So, Magmar? Or Mag...
Dear God, no. He'd melt your dick off.
Not Magmar. Who is the black-faced...
Jinx?
Jinx, yeah. So, Jinx?
I don't know. There's got to be some better ones.
I'd fuck a Charizard just so I could establish dominance. If I was slamming a Charizard as a human, people would be like, what the fuck? I'm like, this is my Pokemon.
Or just a female Snorlax, because you know it ain't going to move.
Yeah, that. Well, it's most girls. But, or Lugia.
Ooh, I'd fuck a Ditto. It's just goop. And goop. It can turn into anything Muck? I wanted it to.
Muck is literally just a pile of...
give you an STD.
Yeah.
He's a pile of poison. No, you get a Ditto, it can turn into anything you want. Be like, Ditto, I want you to turn into whatever chick I feel like fucking.
Hmm. Hmm.
Which yeah, would that's always be my girlfriend, because I love her.
Aw, how cute. That's the best... Yeah, that's the best one.
All right. Well, my conspiracy theory is a little different. We're all dead.
Oh.
We're dead right now.
We're dead right now.
Yep.
So we're like stars.
Yes. The world ended in 2012, just like everybody thought.
Oh.
And we've all just been uploaded to a simulation bank.
So does that mean we're going to live forever?
No, we're just like data right now, kind of playing itself out, like we will die, but...
So kind of like that episode of Black Mirror?
Yeah, we're all just part of the system.
But they get to live forever. That's after they die, they, like, get downloaded into that, and they live on.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different than that, because we're, like, the entire world.
Yeah, but they're literally the entire world.
An alien race came.
Okay.
And took the data of all the people. Like, you know, Pokemon, they're data. They can be stored, like, the Pokeballs that they go into. Right. Turns them into data and stores them in the Pokeball. It's basically what happened to us. The Earth got destroyed. Didn't really get destroyed. It was, like... Ancient aliens or something came up and put us in a Pokeball, and now we're in like a little simulation of Pokemon. We're basically Pokemon.
So we're almost like the end of Krumpus, where you literally came with me to see that movie, where the family is inside of a globe and Krumpus has them on a counter.
Yeah.
Very shitty movie, by the way. Awful movie.
I didn't think it would be good because it's based off a fabrication anti-Santa.
Yeah, but it was also way worse than what they could have done. They could have done a lot better with Krampus, let's be honest.
I expected it to be bad, so I wasn't disappointed.
I expected it to be bad, too. Why are we talking about Krampus? We need to actually do a movie review. You think we should do a podcast where we watch a movie and review it while we're watching it?
We can maybe do that.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Well, we also were going to do the thing where we just watch a slew of YouTube videos and get our reacts to it.
Yeah, but I think that's more video content. I think if we did, like, a talk-on with the movie where they could hear the movie, too, with us talking during it, that would be something. Let us know in comments. I think
that would be video, too, because they'd want to watch the movie as you do it.
Well, then you could be like, press play now.
Oh, we could do that, and then they could play it while they watch the movie.
Right.
Not a bad idea. We'd have to, like, see if we can get movie theaters to, like, give us exclusive ones, be like... Can we come here at, like, 1 in the morning and watch a movie? Or get here at, like, 5 in the morning on a weekend and watch a movie? Or do something to see it by ourselves so we could then record us reviewing it?
I mean, we could do it on your TV.
Yeah, I'm saying brand new movies that are in the theaters. We could do it and then put that out. People can listen to it and put little earbud in and listen to us while they watch the movie.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was it for my conspiracy theory. We went a couple different directions there, but we're going to go ahead and jump into our segment.
What is a path?
What is a path? Ooh, that adds a... That adds something to our next segment, which is going to be our shower thoughts. Shower thoughts! This is our segment where we take some segments or little tidbits from the subreddit Shower Thoughts off of Reddit that are really going to make you think.
Now, before we get into the Reddit spot, I do have one.
Okay.
Words that end with ED...
Okay.
Can you think of one on the spot?
Killed.
Killed? Okay. It has the ED end. How would you say fucked?
Fucked.
There's a T at the end there.
No, there's not.
Fucked.
Well, that's just how we pronounce it. It's fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked.
I fucked them. It would still be ED.
I think that needs to be changed. I think that's incorrect because it's pronounced incorrectly. You should say you're fucked then.
Well, that's how we should be saying it, but we're lazy and don't say it the correct way.
Fucked should be its own thing.
I feel like that's just us mispronouncing the word.
I think t should be its own end pronunciation. And that came into my mind when I heard somebody say fucked and I went... It sounds like a T.
So just
like everyone's
F-U-C-K-T?
Like apostrophe T, I would think.
So kind of like shouldn't.
Yeah, kind of like shouldn't.
Even though that's not the past tense of a verb.
I just think the T at the end is much more understandable than the ED.
I mean, the English language is full of mysteries, and that's one of them. Just like night and night are spelled differently. One has a K for some reason.
Right. Well, there's a few knives like that, like knife. Yeah, but that's common. I mean, there's a lot of things that have that.
Yeah. I'm sure if you really thought about
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
If you really sat down and thought a bit about it, there's probably other ED things that end and sound like that. You were just breaking shit.
Now. Yeah.
Calm down. All right. Well, before I get into the other Reddit ones, I had one too. If you drive a Pathfinder, can you ever really be lost?
Oh, that's where the come into thing is. If you ever drive a Pathfinder. No, because it's always looking.
Yeah, it's always looking. Find a path. You're never lost.
Yep, you're always looking.
All right. Well, one of the first ones I get from Reddit would be, the spiders that live in Buckingham Palace are probably descendants of the spiders that lived there in Victorian times. So there is a whole nother parallel royal family, but they're spiders.
Could that go for any animal that lived in the Buckingham Palace?
If they've lived that long.
I mean, there's got to be, like, flies, you think, that are around still.
Maybe.
So just, yeah, are they, I don't know, if spiders see royalty.
I don't know, they might. It's royal spiders.
You think spiders do that? They're like, look at, like, the spider in your house or my apartment's like, God, we're just such middle-class spiders.
Like, the spider occasionally would go outside and be like, peasant spiders, bring me my flies.
Right.
Then go back inside and eat them.
It's weird. I see a lot of dead spiders inside my apartment, though. Seems like if you have a house, you die as a spider.
Yeah, but it's going to have more spiders somewhere. And it leads on and on. Buckingham Palace is a lot bigger than your fucking apartment.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. What I'm going by with, like, us, if the Buckingham spiders are considered royalty, royal spiders, the spiders in your house and my house are just middle class spiders. I see a lot of dead spiders. Like, most of the time when I run into a spider in my house, it's a dead one. So, for spiders, middle class is just death.
Yeah, it's your royal or you're a pleb. School teaches us to take in large amounts of information without questioning it, which is why so many people probably believe what they read on the internet.
Does it really teach that, though?
A lot
of that's factual.
Yeah, but is it?
Yeah.
If you go to school and you just start questioning all the books and stuff, they're going to say, no, this is our curriculum. Sit down and learn it.
Yeah, but it depends on what you mean by question it. Like, if you're questioning history, no, history happened how it happened. If you're questioning mathematics, Yeah, it's the documented history.
Really, though? Are the books true with how it's really been documented? Like now when you go to school, sure. They say that, oh, the Indians just peacefully gave us their land.
Sure.
You know, we might not really know how things happened.
I understand years things like ago. That have been skewed, but that's because we're becoming soft as people and can't deal with reality. For those of us who can deal with reality and realize that the Germans killed a lot of people and they buried them in mass graves, and that when we came over here and took over America, we just slaughtered fucking Indians. Why would they want us to know that, though? Because I can see what I'm telling you, the bad shit, I know that shit.
Because what if Germans had, some good idea for a better way of living, and America's like, no, in, 100 years, it's going to fuck up our plans, so let's just tell people they killed a bunch of Jews.
But they did. So are you a Holocaust denier?
No, I'm not saying that I am. I'm just, obviously there's been people that accounted it. So with that many accounts, right. It's hard for them to skew that. But
that's what I'm saying.
Are you are you a Trail of Tears denier? I mean,
I just said that the Indians did suffer and they were slaughtered. I was getting to that. We did slaughter those people. We did steal this land. We did do all of that. That's what happened. I know that. That's factual. That's what happened. I'm not questioning it because that's what happened. However, what you're saying might be more of a future question for kids who are in school now who leave and go, what? We took America? Yeah, they wouldn't know because they didn't ask, because what they were told was the curriculum.
But you also look at some older people and stuff, too, like our grandmother. We've told her about the Onion and other things like that. She's like, what do you mean they spread fake news? Why? That's dumb. In her life, it's everything we tell you is real. Just take that. That's how it's really going. You know, real religious people are like that, too. They read the Bible. That's the fact, because God told me it's the fact, and I think that's the fact. And so they read shit online and they're like, oh, it must be true. Why would anybody lie about that?
Religion is really just like fandom that got way too strong.
Yeah.
And it became, that's like in 400 years, if like a Thailand, an entire annihilation happens and they find
Harry Potter book.
Yeah, they're going to think that's what happened. Yeah.
Like years ago, there was a man named Harry Potter.
Harry Potter will be Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's our religion really is. It's just a fandom that took off. And that's for every religion, because all of them were written
instead
books.
Of, like, Christianity and Hinduism and Muslim and all this, we're going to have, like, people that
Aragon,
were
Aragon,
like,
Harry Potter, and fucking...
Naruto.
Naruto. And what's another good book series? Like, A Series of Unfortunate Events. They're going to think that family was amazing. Goosebumps. They're going to think weird shit happened
Monsters
all the time.
Yep. There might actually be a Winchester gospel, like there Supernatural. Might.
You never know.
Well, I wonder. Can you imagine how much shit went wrong when Thanos snapped his fingers? Have you seen? You watched the Avengers?
I haven't watched Infinity War. I know what happens, but okay. I haven't seen it.
So Thanos snaps his fingers.
Half the population. Yes. There goes Stanley.
Yeah. Yep. Can you imagine how much shit went wrong when that happened? Can you imagine like a cheerleader pyramid?
Could you imagine giving birth and then your baby just disappears?
I don't know what happened, but your baby's gone.
Giving birth and it's gone.
Can you imagine like in the middle of a football game, hike, and then your whole offensive line disappears, but none of the defense disappears,
oh,
and they
no.
just kill you? Traffic?
Do you think that'd be
that
statistically
be?
Accurate, like if that happened and they continued the play? Because you have to continue the play.
The game's not over till the game's over. You've got to finish her out.
Huh. I wonder how that
Can you forfeit, like in pro sports?
No. Not in any pro sports can you forfeit. However, two teams can both mutually decline a game. Like if there's a blowout, like to the point where it's.
So what happens if on the way to the game,
a team dies?
Yeah,
is that what you're about to say?
The whole team dies.
So the game will be postponed and the other team will be given what is called an election draft. And what that draft is they are allowed to pick up any players from the free agency for that week. And they get the first round draft pick for the next like two or three seasons. So they can pick up as many people on free agency, and every team can only protect, I think it's 48 of their players.
So it's just like a fantasy.
Just like what the Vegas Knights did.
It's
yeah,
just like a new expansion.
But it's within a week. They do it in a week.
You got a week to figure it out.
You got a week to figure it out. You have to have an entire team rostered in a
week.
Yeah. That they actually have a panic. It's funny that you brought that up. I watched a video the other night about that, about the NFL's disaster plan. They have two of them, actually. One of them is if 15 or less players die in an event. So, like, say they're flying and they crash. If 15 players die or less, so, like, if 14 players die, they have to play the game.
Jesus.
You have to play the game. But if 15 die, you're allowed to postpone the game or play the game, but if you postpone the game, you have to fill all your roster spots. Every team is allowed to protect 50 players of the 53-man roster. They're allowed to protect 50 players.
So you're not really getting anybody off.
And you can pick anybody out of those people or free agents, and you get the first draft pick of the next draft. No matter what, you get it.
What if every team, though, protected, like, the same positions, and it was like, the only people available
you'd have to pick up free agents
out of the other teams is they're, but think all, of it, they're all offering their puncher, their kicker, and their third string fucking quarterback.
Yeah, you'd have to build it, but you could also go to free agents. That's what I'm saying. There's free agents for every position.
Yeah, I know, but fuck, it's gonna be a shitty team.
Yeah, and there's also a practice squad. You can go to any team's practice squad and pick players up. You can do that year round for any team. But the only signing that practice squad is to keep somebody around your facility to train them in case somebody gets hurt. That's what practice squad is for. But if somebody on somebody else's team goes down and you have a player who's thriving at practice, they can come take him.
Yeah.
So that's what they would have to do.
All right.
And I've actually looked into that a little bit because it's actually happened before.
What team?
I want to say it was the Browns, actually.
Damn, Browns have a shit run of the luck. Golf is a sport where you see who can play the least amount of golf.
Wait, what?
Golf is a sport where the objective is to see who can play the least amount of golf.
That it is, but wouldn't... So is bowling.
No, it's not. You still all throw the same amount of frame.
No, you don't. Not if you get a strike on every single one. You only throw the ball 10 times. You're trying to throw it the least amount to get the highest score. Perfect game, 10 balls.
Yeah.
Or 11 balls. Perfect game, 11 balls. You're trying to do it the least.
Yep.
I would also think that goes for... I think that would go for a lot of sports, actually.
Not really. I mean, you look at basketball or baseball, you want to possess the ball more. Or basketball or football, I mean. You want to possess the ball
more. I guess in baseball you want to. No, baseball's the opposite. You don't want to. Who possesses the ball in baseball? The defense? Because they're pitching it?
That's always like a big debate. I would say batting is offense because that's when you score the points. You can't score.
Sure, but the defense is possessing the ball because you're defending your field.
And the batter is defending the pitcher from being able to get the ball to the catcher.
So the long... Oh, no, you know what? You're right, because the longer a pitcher is on the field, the longer the offense would have opportunity to score. So, like, if the pitcher isn't striking out people or getting outs, the longer they're having people on base and scoring, the offense would have longer time having the defense on the field.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. Mm. In our first 4 years of school, we're taught to walk and talk, or our first 4 years of life, we're taught to walk and talk. And then the rest of our lives, people want us to just sit down and shut up.
I've actually seen this one, and that's not completely necessarily true. They tell everybody to sit down and shut up.
I typically shit downward.
Yeah, I do as well. Typically. Not always. I've had a few oddballs, but I feel like they do tell you to sit down and shut up, but the people that teachers and professors and people seem to latch onto are the ones who didn't.
Yes.
The ones who
do
said,
change or
no,
speak
I'm
out.
Changing it, or I'm going to stand up, or I'm going to have a voice, or I'm going to do this. Those are the ones that got on to do other things.
True.
Like, where we went to school, I really didn't do shit all through school because I became buddy buddy with all my teachers, and like I did do my work, but I half-assed 90% of it.
I slept most of the time. I probably slept through 50 to 60% of school and still had straight A's.
Yeah, I didn't sleep through it, but I like I did the skits with the school. I was in the FFA. I did golf. I played football for a while. I did all that stuff. It just, the more involved I was with the school's name, it seemed like the less I had to perform for my grades.
Yeah. So that's a lot of places.
Yeah. That goes for college and everything. Anyone who excelled in something, like I did the extemp speaking, and then I started doing the talent show for our school, and then I started doing other shit. I did stand up at my school once. I went and did a speech after I graduated.
I'm not just talking about the things you do. I'm just saying in general, when you look like your average worker person, right. Why don't you just come, go to work, don't act out, go home, be back.
And I agree. That's what they would also do to students. They'd tell you, come to school, sit down, do your work, do your homework, get good grades, go home. I get that. But the ones who didn't do that are the ones who thrived.
Sure. Not all of them. Some of them acted out and they were fucking assholes.
Yeah, there's a difference in between trying to be prosperous and being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Just like at work. Like, every day I go to work, I put in my time to work, and I do what I want to do, but if I feel like I have something I want to say that would be different compared to someone else, I will. And I've also seen people who won't do that.
How's this one? I think you'll like this one. This is our last one. Then we're going to get to your movie.
Okay.
Killing yourself is actually an act of defense. You're killing somebody that wants to kill you.
Or could it be an attack? You were attacking someone you want to kill. You're killing someone you want to kill.
Yeah, but you're also killing the person that wants to kill you.
Right, but you're also killing the person you want to kill. I think that's just neutral. Also, I thought, I had a weird thought the other day. And you know how people like always say that suicide isn't an act of selfishness? Like, that's the argument. Like, some people say it's selfish to kill yourself. And, like, in all realness, suicide is awful. It's, like, a bad subject. But and it's technically actually illegal to kill yourself in the United States. But there's no repercussion if you do.
There is if you do it and fail.
Right, if you do it and fail. But I'm talking about completion. In completion, there is no...
There are a couple.
Like what?
Your insurance policy won't pay out if you kill yourself.
Sure, but that's affecting you. That doesn't affect other people.
Different ones, you're getting punished. Your family, they're punishing your family, which you might not realize is going to happen. So your ghost is going to be like, fuck.
I mean, worst case scenario, you just... What does that mean? Your family doesn't get any more money?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they...
And it all depends, because, like, apparently...
They didn't have that money in the first place. You're not really doing anything.
Yeah, but if you would have died of natural causes, your family would have gotten something.
Sure, so killing but you're yourself, not...
Your family's going to be penalized by not getting anything.
Sure, but they wouldn't have got that for... Say, he never killed himself. They might not get that for many years. Yeah, eventually they would.
Not getting it at all.
Sure, but that's not a direct effect.
Or if somebody kills you, they're going to get it. But if you kill yourself, you're out.
So what I was thinking was...
Your family could have been banking on you dying... But then you went and killed yourself, and now they're fucked.
It's gone. Opposite for Aaron Hernandez, that actually paid was his family.
His insurance didn't pay his family. The NFL contractually owed him money, and by dying, he couldn't be convicted, so they had to pay his family. That wasn't insurance.
Well, that's what I'm saying, the opposite for Aaron Hernandez. He thought it through.
He played the game.
So
he won the game of suicide. Right,
really, he won the game of suicide. What I'm getting at is, now, for anyone hearing this... Get ready, because it's going to sound bonkers, but they say it's selfish, which in times, sure, in times it's not, and it's illegal, but like I said, you're really not, the person is really not punished. For the family, maybe they don't get their insurance money. Sure. If you want to really see suicide become selfish and see how selfish people are, put the rest of the family in jail.
Like, if you kill yourself...
If you're married and your husband kills himself, you're going to fucking jail. If you're married and your wife kills herself...
Because you might be the reason he killed himself.
You're going to jail because you might be the reason they did it. You were there the more than anyone else you should have been able to catch this or been, like, involved. That would really determine whether it was selfish or not. And I think it would actually prevent some suicides. Because they'd know, when I die, My wife goes to jail.
Ooh, that might not be. I mean, it's a shitty.
That's what I mean. It's a shitty deal.
Shitty deal, but it might keep some people from killing
them. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said brace. Hold on till the end. Because what I'm getting at actually kind of makes a little bit of sense. That's where you would see somebody actually being a selfish act. Like, well, I want to die. I don't care what they do. That person was just being selfish. That was someone who literally gave no regard.
Yeah.
But there's probably a lot of people who do regard when they killed themselves. And if they knew that was going to happen, they wouldn't have.
It sounds like one of those ideas that, like, the Nazis would have had, where if, like you said, you really broke it down, you could see where
they were going.
Sense, but it's logically, not right. It's not right.
It's scientifically or factually correct, but morally wrong.
Exactly.
And that's why I would never really want that to happen. But if it did, I would understand why they did it.
Exactly. All right. Well, that wraps up our shower thoughts. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about this movie idea?
Well, let me go ahead and drop into this movie. So, I thought of this because of the Detective Pikachu coming out.
Movie time.
So, Detective Pikachu came out. Okay. And we all know that with Ryan Reynolds, blah, 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 blah.
Well, it didn't come out, but they came out with
the trailer. Well, yeah, the trailer. It's announced. So, I thought of one of a kid who ends up becoming the world's best detective because he can replay moments of life as long as he's there. So, like, he could go to Times Square and say a date and literally watch that day happen. He's not there. He just has to be in the place, and he can watch it like he's at
any moment in time.
Any moment in time, wherever he's standing. So he could, like, say, show me Missouri 1993, and he could just walk down a road and everything that happened in 1993 would be happening around him wherever he's at. So he could literally find old cases that were never solved and go to those areas and say, I want this date at this time. And he could watch what happened, and he goes around solving a bunch of unsolved cases. So the movie is about this kid going around solving unsolved cases.
All right, now here's the twist.
Okay.
I like how we're doing this now, where you come up with the idea and I throw a twist.
Okay, yeah, and I'm fine with that, because you didn't seem to like the movie idea, and I really enjoy coming up with them.
Now here's the twist.
Okay.
He's searching one of these crimes, and while searching in the past of one of them, he sees somebody that can see him, and they run off. He later finds out that there's a person similar to him, but instead of seeing any time in the past,
he can see any time in the future,
and he becomes a killer and is doing all these crimes that never go solved.
Oh, because he can see which ones he's not doing. He can literally go, this is one he's going to be at. Oh, that's a good one. And then the opposite.
Kid finally sees him somewhere, and he goes, fuck, I didn't see him. And the kid doesn't realize why he can't see him. So then he starts going, like, further in the past to different moments where the guy avoided him that he didn't originally go to look to find him. But this guy, he can't see the future. So the guy can see the future of him going back again and finding him. And it just becomes this
back and forth chase
between this guy looking in the future and killing people and this guy looking in the past solving the murders.
I like that. And the name I gave it was Reopened.
Reopened. I like that one. With my little bit of a twist, let me think of the name instead of Reopened. Cold Case Catcher. Because a cold case is one that just goes away.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, something to do with the future and the past, like fighting with each other.
Yeah. That was a good
time splitters.
Time splitters. Like the there game, you go. Yeah.
It's called time splitters because one can go one way and one can go the other. Yeah.
That'd be wild, though. It'd literally be a movie about a detective going after somebody, you could say maybe, 100 years before, and they both just happen to have this ability. One was the opposite of the other, and those were the biggest cases, and they were against each other. So the one is just doing them all, but he's planning them strategically because he knows in 100 years somebody's going to be coming after him.
In the past.
Yeah, and the guy in the past, well, in the future, who can see in the past, is now trying to catch the guy who knew he was coming.
Wild idea. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we hope you guys like those segments. We are going to go ahead and jump into our beer review.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
As always, our beer reviews are brought to you by Barrel's Tap House and Grill, located at the corner of Highway N and Highway K in O'Fallon, Missouri. They got 109 beers on tap, amazing food, awesome people. They got a room if you're having parties. They got open seating at the bar. They're just fucking badass people.
There's video games, Top Golf, darts. Yeah. They have a lot of stuff like that in another off-put room.
They have trivia multiple nights of the week. They have meat bingo where you can win delicious meat.
Wednesday, I believe, is the nights for the main trivia. Yeah. On Wednesday nights, you can go in and they have a trivia every Wednesday that starts at 7 o'clock, I believe.
So there you go. So be sure and go in there. Check them out. Tell them Inside the Pocket sent you. They're going to hook you up. Do it.
Yeah, you'll enjoy yourself, and I guarantee you'll come back again.
Yes. All right, awesome. What beer are we reviewing today?
Today we're doing a Samuel Adams again. I'm actually on a Samuel Adams kick. After 2 weeks ago, we did a Samuel Adams. And this one is called White Christmas.
Mm.
And it is a haze, crisp, and bright winter Christmas ale. And yes, it's brewed with multiple spices. It is a 5.8 alcohol percentage. I believe it's made with cinnamon and nutmeg. Ooh, are the ingredients in this one. The real
Christmas flavor.
It's a Christmassy flavor. I know it's only November and we are before Thanksgiving. I know. We're not skipping Thanksgiving.
But we did a pumpkin beer last week.
We did a pumpkin beer last week. We're letting you, we're giving you guys all the different things.
They're just holiday beers.
Yeah. Anything in the holiday spirit. However, this one is very Christmassy, with the name being White Christmas and also the label itself being wrapped like a present.
Aw.
So it's, and I will say this is a real treat and it's a real gift. It is a good beer.
It is very good.
Surprisingly, when I read the nutmeg and cinnamon, I went, you know, see, I'm a big like eggnog fan. And I'm a big wintry... Yeah, you hate eggnog. But I'm a real wintry beer fan. Like, I'm not Oktoberfest beer fan. But, like, when Christmas comes, I do like a lot of the beers that come out like that. And I will give you guys a little tip that next week is also going to be a Samuel Adams beer. I already have it on deck of next week's. And, yeah. But it's also, you know, like, the seasons being beer. But this one is the one I wanted to try first. And I'm thrilled. I like it a lot, actually. I've had now, this is my third one during the podcast. Normally, I only go through one, maybe two.
It's a 5.8% alcohol by volume beer.
Yep, said that.
Okay. Just making sure. I never hear you say it.
Yeah. And the one thing I do like about this is how they do their expiration date.
Yeah.
Is actually, if you turn your bottle this way, they notch out the date, the month that it expires in the side of it. If you're looking at the logo and you turn your beer to the left, they have a few months listed and one is notched out because the beer is only sold through October, November, and December. So they know what date it's going to be becoming expired. So they notch it out on the side of the beer. It doesn't give you an actual date. They just have the month and it's notched out.
You know what would have been a really good thing for marketing for this beer?
What's that?
If it would have said open by, like, or keep closed till or something like that.
Oh, like keep people... closed till Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been good. That would have been a good one.
All right. What's your review on this one?
My review is it's crisp. You can definitely get the cinnamon on it. The hazelnut is extremely strong. I can taste the nut flavor and the nutmeg flavor in it. I can taste that a lot. And I'm going to go ahead and give it a 7.3.
That's pretty good. Now, I have to say, it is quite good. Probably not a beer I would go out of my way to order, but definitely a treat. If somebody offered it to me, I would never turn it down.
And that's what most of these are. Yeah. I feel like the beer review is like I'm grabbing, like most of the time I'm the one who picks the beers. So yeah. I grab ones that we don't ever actually drink. If we ever
get a beer that's something that's like, I'm drinking this a lot from now on, it's going to get a monster rating.
Right.
But I'm going to go ahead and give this one a 7.
A seventh? So we're both in the sevenths.
Yeah.
We're both up there pretty high. I think overall, out of the brands we've done 4204, Samuel Adams, a few times a piece. I know we've done a few Schlafly's. I would say Samuel Adams might have our highest rating on each of their beers.
And they are, and they're a beer that I probably would never typically go out and get, but they don't make bad beers. Samuel Adams. Guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and I will give it to you guys that last year during the winter, my beer of choice during the winter last year was the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest and the Sad Emanuel Standard beer. Just Samuel Adams. They're good beers.
Especially around Christmas time.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for our show this week. Go to our website. Check our shit out. We're going to be putting up more blogs. We hope you guys like it. Make an account on there so you can leave comments and interact with us on there. We would appreciate a lot. Really, more than buying something from us, something that we would appreciate so much is if you would literally, you know, send the podcast to a friend or give it to somebody you think would actually like to listen to it. And just spread the word. Like, that would mean more to me right now than you guys buying anything. You know, we tell you to go on there and buy our shit because that would help us. All the money that we make from that is going to go towards improving the podcast. We're not just trying to, like, make money off you guys. We literally
have a separate account for this.
We want to improve the podcast to be something that you enjoy to listen to even more. And it would help us eventually, you know, bring on more guests, stuff like that in the future. But more than anything else right now, what we need is for people to go on iTunes, rate and review more than one fucking star, and spread the word. And we would appreciate it so much. And we love you guys.
Yeet.
Inside the pocket of a clown. It's a sad place to hang around. Just watching smiles turn into frowns.